Hi all. Today I'm going to be sharing with you some tips for starting, growing, and scaling your home bakery business. So as I've come back to YouTube, as I've heard from other people who are in the thinking about starting their home bakery phase, in the I've started a home bakery, but now I need it to grow in order for it to make sense for me to keep doing this. Or even people who are beyond that point who just want to kind of analyze and improve. There's a lot of advice out there, but not necessarily a lot that applies to these different stages. So there's quite a few places where you can go to learn about starting your home bakery business, but then there's, from what I've noticed and from my research, I have not found as much about growing that home bakery business. And business advice about growing your home bakery in a way that is sustainable and scalable and provides you with a life and business that you are excited to get up and run. There's just not a whole lot out there on business strategy and techniques and that kind of thing. So today I'm going to be pulled several questions from a TikTok that I did recently where I talked about starting a home bakery business, where I talked about starting a cookie decorating business. And there were lots and lots of questions on that video. I'm really excited to dive into those. If we haven't met yet, I'm Sarah Grace. I got started in cookie decorating. That was my home bakery business, decorating royal icing sugar cookies, like the really detailed, pretty ones for special occasions. That was what I did, and eventually turned that, my home bakery, into an online course sales business, which I currently run now. But I started teaching online classes about cookie decorating and started my YouTube channel, and it all just kind of went from there. That's not the way I expected my home bakery business to go, but the more I talk to other bakers, the more I talk to other people in the course of trying to teach others to improve their cookie decorating abilities, we came into discussing business a lot. And I discovered that my perspective on business was really different than a lot of people's. In a good way, I think. In a good way. But that's why I wanted to share about business. That's why I created the course, the Cookie Career Academy, all those years ago, was to help people start and grow their cookie decorating businesses. Now, before I get started today, I just want to make a quick note on that course. It is changing. This year, probably in the next month, it is going to change, and I'm going to be adding more to it. Nothing is going to be taken away. So if you've purchased this course in the past and you're thinking, whoa, now, don't go messing with what I've got. Nothing is going to be taken away. All the great things that are there are still going to be there. The website template, the order taking dashboard that has like an automated form and spreadsheet, all of that will still be there and be available to those who have purchased it. But you're going to be getting more, basically. I'm going to start doing some live coaching, which is basically where we get on a Zoom call and talk, and you tell me what's going on in your business, what your goals are, and I talk to you about strategies to help you get there. And it's going to become more expansive. It's going to be offering some help to a more general population of home bakers, because I believe that the course I created, Cookie Career Academy, is needed for cookie decorators. Cookie business is different from typical business, in my opinion. But I also think that other home bakers could benefit from this perspective. So I'm going to be opening it up a little bit. And also, a lot of people who make cookies, that's not the only thing they make. So it's going to be more generalized for home bakers. Anyway, I say all that to say that the price is going to be increasing slightly in like mid-March to the end of March, because the value is going to be increasing. There's going to be more available in that course. But as I'm in the works of getting all that made available, as I'm in the works of kind of, or in the process of getting this set up, I want to give you a heads up so that if you have been budgeting for Cookie Career Academy, if you've been planning to purchase it at the price it currently is, I want you to go ahead and get it at that price before the price increase happens mid-March. I promise I'm going to move on very soon. But I just want to reiterate, if you wanted to get into Cookie Career Academy before I add in all this good new stuff, because you will get access to it. One of my promises in Cookie Career Academy, and this has been true since I first launched the program, one of my promises is if you get something when you join Cookie Career Academy, you get lifetime access. Anything that I add in anytime from now till forever and ever, if it's not like an add-on, if it's within the Cookie Career Academy offer, not any other offers that I do in the future, but if it's within the Cookie Career offer, then you will get access to that inside of Cookie Career. Because if you believed in me at my first launch of this course, I have 12 modules. Here's what I got. If you believed in me at that stage, then I want you to receive the benefit of that further on down the road when I have a lot more business experience, a lot more teaching ability under my belt. I want you to receive all the benefits that you can from that, because I just think that's good business practice. And that's, yeah. So anyway, if you'd like to get in on that price, this is kind of your last chance warning, like early to mid-March. I don't have an exact date yet. It's looking like around March 14th is going to be the date. I'm going to make that a Friday because that's it. Feels like a good date. March 14th will probably be.
Hey there, and welcome to the Sarah Grace Cookie Co. channel. I'm so glad that you're here. This channel is here to be a source of inspiration, encouragement, and teaching when it comes to the art of cookie decorating, as well as creating a baking business. My goal is always to provide you with resources that make your journey to becoming a cookie decorator, whether for professional or just personal enjoyment, easier at sarahgracecookieco.com.
But if you're watching this on YouTube, or if you're listening to it on the Bake a Better Business podcast, which if you're watching this on YouTube, hey, I'm making a podcast called Bake a Better Business. No matter where you're listening to this, I'll put the details in either the description or the show notes or wherever you go to get the linky links on whatever platform you're listening or watching on right now. Just go there and you'll have all the relevant links for Cookie Career Academy. You can go check out what's there already. You can get access to all of that great stuff. We have past coaching calls with guest experts. We have modules on how to grow your business. We have organizers, planners, templates, basically a baking business in a box. It's already a great, great product, but I'm adding more to it. And when you add more to it and when you give more value, you should raise your price. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we get into starting, growing, and scaling a home bakery business. So if you're coming here and you've listened to every video about checking your cottage food laws, getting your business license, all of that, feel free to skip ahead to the growing part. I felt like when I first started my home bakery business, that was all I could find information on, was getting those licenses. Like, what do you have to do in order to be allowed to sell? And all that is good information and necessary information. But I do want to step on up to the next level of what that entails and actually growing a business that is going to give you meaningful income as a baker. Because income may not be your success marker. It wasn't for me. Income was great, but my success marker in my home bakery was how much free time can I possibly have while earning money? Because my priority was spending time with my boys, who I stayed home with since they were little. So number one, before you get any licenses, before you look into paperwork, before you learn about cottage food laws, I want you to decide right now, right here, right now, what does sweet success, that's something I mention a lot in my sales pages and things, like the idea of sweet success, what does sweet success as a home bakery business owner look like for you? Does it look like a certain number per month of income? does it look like just having a chance to use your creativity and have fun? What does that sweet success look like in your mind? Does it look like opening a bakery one day and just this being a first step to proving that you have the baking ability and the demand for a bakery so that you can start the research process for that? That's something that has been on my heart for a long, long time, is maybe even like a physical location. Whatever it is, whatever your definition of sweet success is, keep that in mind as we talk about the full process of starting, growing, and scaling your home bakery business. So let's talk about starting. A lot of you told me that you want to start a business, you want to start selling your cookies, your cakes, your cupcakes, whatever it is that you're making. But so many people have said they have a lot of fear, they have a lot of overwhelm, they just don't know where to start. So square one when you're starting any kind of baking business is your licensing, your paperwork, all that good stuff, your cottage food law. So usually this can be pretty easily and quickly found with a Google search. Search your state's name and cottage food law, and there should be several websites that will give you information on what you can and can't sell and what the regulations are. Some states have minimum and maximum numbers for, well, usually it's like a maximum amount of sales that you can make in your business. To me, those were pretty big numbers, especially for the amount of time I was working from my home. But I live in Tennessee. Our cottage food regulations are pretty good, in my opinion. You know, there are things we can't do. There are things that we, you can't have animals in the house, things like that. But it was pretty flexible. It wasn't super, super stringent. There were certain foods that I could sell from my home and certain foods that I couldn't. And then some of the surrounding states around me, their cottage food laws differed. So be sure and look at your specific state, because that's going to change from state to state. If you're not able to find a clear answer with a Google search, call your local health department. If you're not sure if something applies to you or how it applies to you, just put in a call to that local health department and they should be able to answer your question. Now, as far as business licensing goes, that is, again, a simple Google search. What do you have to do to have a business in the state of Tennessee or in the state of wherever you live? You can also call your county clerk or like your local courthouse. That's what we have here in Tennessee, and they can give you some more information about what is required. Now, that's a point I want to touch on here, because I have had people tell me before, I'm waiting to get my LLC to start selling, or I'm waiting to get my whatever it is that they're doing. And I want to encourage you here. I don't want to discourage you from getting any of those things if you want them. However, I want to encourage you to start with only what you have to have. Whatever you have to start a business, like your business license, whatever you are required to have in order to start selling something, start with that. An LLC, a trademark, things like that are legal distinctions, and they can be helpful to have, but they are not required to start a business. They are legal things that you can do in order to have a business. Now, this is not legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a representative for your state. I'm not anyone who you should take like financial advice from. I'm not any of that. I am someone who built my own home bakery, and this is what I did. I started with the required things, and I actually, you know, never found there to be a need for me to file an LLC. In other words, I was small fish, basically. But if that's something that you don't feel comfortable operating without, I understand. It's just, that's a huge expense, and you don't have to have it in order to start a business. So you need your business license. You need whatever it is that your state secretary, whatever, tells you you need. And number one, square one, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, go find you a good CPA who can explain taxes to you. They probably won't charge you anything except what they charge to actually do your taxes. But just call whatever CPA you're using now. If you have someone who does your taxes, call them now and ask them, hey, what do I need to do?
Oh, no.
My planner is, I've got my window open and my planner is blowing in the wind. And my husband's coming home, so probably need to pause. Call that CPA and see what you need to do. They'll tell you what percentage of your profit you need to set aside and give you some information on what your state requires when it comes to charging your customers taxes, not charging them taxes, all that good stuff. So do some Google searches about business licensing and what's required to start a business in your state. Do a Google search about cottage food laws and what you're allowed to sell, what you have to, sometimes you have to have something on your packaging, like a label or something, how you're allowed to sell it. And also get in touch with your CPA, ask them about your taxes, all that good stuff. That way you have this foundation of knowledge that's going to give you information to go on. You're not going to be so fearful and intimidated when you actually have a little bit of information, when you've called some people, when you've done some research, and you understand what is expected of you. Now, a lot of people ask me about having, I'm looking at my computer because I'm referencing these questions, so forgive me for kind of looking up and down. But a lot of people ask me about having pets in the house and how that works with cottage food law. So at the time that I had my cookie bakery, I'd never had a pet in the house, did not have one at that time. We recently, now, we do have a cat in the house. His name is Beans. He's adorable. But I'm no longer baking for the public, so that's different. I'm baking for cookies for me and my boys and cookies to show y'all on videos that other people are not eating. So with pets or with other constraints from cottage food law, such as what ingredients you can use, where and when you can sell, things like that, any constraints that you have, one of the suggestions I have for that is looking into using a commercial kitchen in its off hours. So that's can't come in. Look into using a kitchen from a coffee shop or maybe another bakery in those off hours. Talk to them about renting that space. If this is something that you really want to do and you want to have that baking ability, there may be some flexibility on where you could bake if you're willing to do that. Now, another question that I get asked a lot is, what do you do about liability insurance? I have a couple ideas for you here. Liability insurance is just that added layer of security to make you feel a little better just in case someone was to get sick after eating your cookies, whether it's your fault or not. It would just give you a little bit of something to fall back on to help reduce those fears going into business. I've done a partnership with Next Insurance before, and in the course of that partnership, learned a little bit about their pricing model. They have a scaled pricing model depending on what kind of business you're in and what kind of like revenue level you're at. Least that was how it works or worked last time I checked on it. I don't know for sure, but that one is a very affordable place to look. Another thing to consider or just look at is wherever you get your car insurance or your home insurance, check with them and see if they can do a small personal liability insurance policy for you. And that'll just give you that added layer of assurance and security. Now, let's talk a little bit about that fear and intimidation of starting a new business. Part of this is, once you've educated yourself, you've done some research, once you understand what you're obligated to do as a home baker, once you have kind of figured out the things that are expected of you, then you just have to trust that if a situation arises, you'll be able to handle it. And you cannot predict the future. And sitting with whatever scenario you're making up in your mind, because that's what I always did before I started my business, or even while I was in it, there would be these scenarios running through my mind of what could happen in my business and what it could lead to. If it's a what-if thought, just toss it out. And take what actions you can to ensure that you are following the law, following the protocol, giving your customer the best experience that you possibly can. But also understand that there are going to be situations arise that you can't predict, that you can't research ahead of time, that you're just going to have to trust yourself and trust God to figure out when you're in them. But don't let those situations or the idea of them, and I feel like this is a lesson on anxiety in general and fearfulness in general, not just in business, but don't let that fear of failure, don't let that fear of conflict or whatever it is that may possibly happen in the future rob you from the joy of the present and the joy and the benefit that you could receive from having this home bakery business. Now, when you have the main voice in your head that's focusing on fear, shift your focus to the possibilities. Think about all the ways that this business is going to benefit the people that you love in your life. Think about all the potential benefits to your community. Think about all the people who you can serve and you can help through this business. Whatever is making you fearful or nervous or anything like that, shift that focus to the possibilities, what can be in a good way. Think on the things that are good and exciting and joyful. And sometimes that's easier said than done, but start to understand that it would be unfair for you to take away the opportunity for someone. Think about the people who you're going to be serving. Think about how it would be unfair for you to take away that opportunity from them to be served because you're scared. And I have to tell this message back to myself over and over and over very frequently. So don't think that I'm saying this with like a flippant, oh, that's all you've got to do kind of attitude. This is the philosophy and the ideas and the things that I have to remind myself of constantly, even today in my online business. Another one of the fears and concerns that you guys told me that you run into a lot as you're considering starting your business is privacy and posting your address as a home bakery. So, number one, you never ever have to post your address. I highly don't recommend that. Please don't post your address publicly online, if at all possible. You can do alternate pickup locations if you don't want anyone knowing your address at all. You could choose a meeting place in your nearest town or somewhere close to you or even at the end of your street. You do not have to do pickups at your address. I do recommend finding one specific day of the week when you're going to do those pickups or do those drop-offs and kind of have a place and a time when you're going to be doing those so that you can schedule your week around it and you're not constantly in the car running. But definitely having an alternate pickup location can work if you don't want anyone knowing your address. Now, you can also kind of choose whether or not to share your address at your discretion. Now, living in the small community that I live in and knowing most of the people that I baked for, there were several occasions where I felt comfortable sharing my address and I would just tell them to come by the house and get my cookies or get the cookies that they ordered. So I would send them a direct message with my address after they'd ordered, after all the details were complete. Then we would get in touch and talk address and pick up details. And that can be a little tedious, but it's well worth it when it comes to maintaining your privacy. Now, if you don't know the person who's picking up, or if you get just a bad feeling about that pickup situation, set yourself a public meeting place. And you can even have collaborations and partnerships with local businesses where you utilize their business as a pickup location. Boutiques and places that sell things, whatever it is, if it's somewhere where you can come in and browse, those places usually really like having you as like bringing your customers in to pick up things there because they have a reason to come into their store and see the cute things that they have available. Yes, it's something else for them to manage, but it's also an opportunity for them to get more customers too and make your life easier. So consider that as a potential partnership and a way to just know that you do not have to put your address out there publicly. Please don't. Do not ever put your address on Facebook just out there for God and everybody to know. I don't know if that's what y'all meant by like maintaining your privacy when you were talking about that, or if it was just like, you know, you don't want to put that on Google My Business. And I agree. I wouldn't want to put that out there either. So that was kind of how I worked around that. I hope that answered that question. Now let's talk about pricing. This is another area where fear really comes into play. And in that last video that I posted about coming back to YouTube, I talked about my fear of failure. I talked about some of the fears I had around kind of continuing this business and that kind of thing. And so many of you said that you resonated with just fearfulness. So when it comes to pricing, that is usually showing up in our pricing. Feeling like people aren't willing to pay the price you set. Pricing fears are usually rooted in that people-pleasing behavior, worrying what people are going to think. Are they going to think that I think I'm better than me? Or, you know, if you're in the South, you might say they're going to think I think my poop don't stink or whatever, you know, like, not to be crass, but that's the language we use when we're thinking about what others are going to perceive when we set our prices. And there are people paying. Y'all, let me just dissuade. Don't know if that's the word I'm looking for here. Let me just dispel, I guess would be the word, some of these pricing fears and this lot. Oh my goodness, y'all. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm so sorry. I've been filming. My battery keeps dying. And I've been filming since 3 o'clock. And now the sun's getting all in my eyes. And so, yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm sorry about the light. But you're here for the information, not the lighting. So let's just dispel some of these fears. There are people paying $10,000 for purses, y'all. But if you're stressed about pricing, just go look at a couple TikToks of Pookie and Jet going to Aspen and buying, like, I saw a parody of one of their videos that said they were spending the equivalent of Guatemala's GDP at the Aspen Hermes store. And it just reaffirmed everything that I've been learning over these years in business of people are willing to pay for things. They are allowed to prioritize in their budget what they want to prioritize. And it is not up to us to determine for them what their budget looks like. It is not up to us to create our business and our pricing to fit their budget. They get to decide what is a priority to them and what isn't. And let's just be honest. Custom baked goods from a home baker that are made in small batches with the amount of care and intention that they're made with. Now, caveat here, this is assuming that you're making things with care and intention and that you're putting your best effort into everything you do. And just know that anytime I'm making a video, anytime I'm speaking to you, I'm assuming that that's what you're doing, because I believe that most of you really are setting out with, I mean, there are a few home baker situations where, you know, someone didn't put in their best effort, and then that becomes a meme or that becomes a story that people tell. But in most cases, I believe people are really putting forth their best effort and trying their best to create a really great product. That is a luxury, a product like that, a service like that, because home baking is a service. You are creating something homemade, something custom, something many times for a special occasion. It is not something that you can go down the street and just buy. Very often, it is something that is more akin to a personalized service. That is a luxury. That is not something that is accessible to everyone. It's just like having a nanny service or someone coming to your home to clean out your car, a service like that. Those are luxuries. And there are months when people don't have the budget for those luxuries. There are people who don't have the budget for certain luxuries. And you and me and every person out there has to choose, what am I going to prioritize in my budget? And if your customers are willing, which we're going to talk about placing yourself in a position to find the people who are willing and excited to pay for your work, that's going to be on later in the video, in the podcast. You do want to find the people who are willing and excited and can pay for your product, but never make a judgment on someone based on the car that they drive or what they say about your pricing, because it, again, it is not your job. And if you're looking at the Facebook groups where, and we all have them, those local Facebook groups where someone is saying, I need to find a baker who can make me a cake for less than X amount of dollars, or I need to find a cookie decorator who can make me cookies for less than X amount of dollars, and you're taking that as input on your pricing when this person may not even be talking to or about you, that is not the way we price, sweet friend. Go and look at my pricing video on YouTube. Look at Sarah Grace Cookie Co. pricing, or just cookie, sugar cookie pricing. Whatever you want to type in that Google search bar, it will bring you to the pricing video. It's me in like a little white blazer with pink flowers on it, shocker. And I tell you all about my pricing as a service-based business, because service-based businesses price their work differently than product-based businesses, okay? Walmart is product-based. They're cranking out X number of cookies every single day, and they know how much they put into those cookies. They know how much they pay their employees to make them, and they charge enough to make a certain percentage profit on that. That is product-based pricing. They are a multinational, bazillion, however many dollar company. You are not. Neither am I. And we're not trying to be. So price as though you are in a different category, because you are. This is a service. This is a luxury. This is something that is special and different. So all that to say, covering your cost is not enough. Break even is not enough. You're going to burn out fast. Worry less about covering your costs and focus on covering cost plus time. What are you making per hour? Look at how many hours you're spending. Look at how much money you're making on average per hour, and think to yourself, could I earn more by going to work at my local fast food chain? Now, if I worked at Chick-fil-A, I would be earning $0 a week because I would be eating my entire paycheck in waffle fries. That's who I am, and I know that, so that's why I don't work at Chick-fil-A. Anyway, that's a tangent. But if I would be taking a pay increase to go and work at Chick-fil-A compared to what I'm making selling custom sugar cookies, that is a problem. That is a problem with pricing, and we need to remedy that. Now, a lot of people feel bad. They feel like they're excluding people when they price their work in a certain way. But I mean, again, these things are luxuries. Again, you know, we all get to prioritize our budgets however we choose to. And if cookies are important enough to someone that they save all year for them, or if they're important enough to someone that they include them in their budget that already has quite a bit of wiggle room, whatever that is, it's not up to us. We set the price, and the customer then gets to make their decision on, does this fit in my budget? Does it not? So I did put here in my notes, this pricing as a service model is going to hold true no matter how much eggs go up in price, okay? And I think they're hitting like $8 in some stores per dozen right now, which I never dreamed I would be sitting here saying. But that's the truth. That's how much eggs are costing right now. And this pricing as a service model, this covering your cost plus your time plus the value that you provide, this is going to hold true no matter how much eggs go up. Because there are still going to be people who are willing to pay for luxury services even when things are expensive. And when those costs go up, that should be reflected in your price. When inflation happens when hourly wages change for the rest of the country, that should be reflected in your price too. Now, you've got to value your time and your talent enough to price it according to the value it brings. It is not sugar, butter, flour baked into a round that you are selling. You are selling a custom, curated flavor, a look, an experience that is completely unique to you. Part of the deal is, though, again, you've got to be putting in the effort to make an excellent product. And again, when I talk to you, I'm assuming that you are. I know you are. You wouldn't be here looking up information about how to bake a better business if you weren't putting forth your best effort. I feel that about you. But if you're someone who, you know, maybe you know that there's room to grow, maybe some of your pricing fears are coming from, hey, am I really giving a product that is worth what I need to charge for it to make it worth my time? Then maybe that's where you dive in and say, what can I do to level up my skills? What can I do to level up my customer's experience? There is always room for improvement, and I believe in consistently improving your product, your service, continuously growing, and your price should continuously grow to reflect your growth as a baker and as a business owner. So, again, if you're pulling pictures from Google and selling an idea of what you could make, or if you're not putting out the best product that you can, then yeah, you need to pause and reflect on lowering that price until you can get to a point where you can provide a better product or better service that you feel confident in. But consistently, constantly improving your craft and process, when you up-level as a person, or not as a person, this is more personal development stuff. When you up-level as a business owner, when you up-level as a service provider, which is what you're doing by creating a custom-made good, your price should up-level too. Now, when you get started, you don't need much to find your people. I mentioned earlier, we want to find the people who are excited and willing to pay the price that we've set for whatever we're baking. When you are first starting, this whole section has been about starting your home bakery. When you are starting, you don't need a lot in the way of marketing. You don't need to be spending a lot of time making websites or refining the systems for ordering. That can come later. When you're starting, you're focusing on finding those first few customers that you can serve extremely, extremely well so that they can then go and tell 4 or 5 people about the good experience that they've had. That is going to be your best and most effective marketing strategy, is to find your few people who you can really, really, really take care of, and then they can go and tell. They can go and tell others about you. So my recommendations when you're first getting started are posting pictures of what you bake either on your personal Facebook page or creating a Facebook business page if you'd like to keep it separate, or if you just like to start investing in that Facebook business page because that's what you're going to be posting on in the future as your business grows. And it's free to make one, so it's really no love lost if you end up not using it. But you make that Facebook business page, you name it, you put a pretty cover on it, pretty profile picture, and you start posting photos of the cookies that you're baking. The cookies or the cupcakes or whatever it is, you take some good quality pictures of them. Now, to get a good quality picture, just stick it by a natural light like a window, use a ring light, something like that to get good lighting on it. Snap a photo, use some editing tools in your iPhone, or some of the editing tools that you can get on Facebook itself. Edit it up, make it pretty, increase that brightness a little bit, and post it with a cute caption that talks about how you're trying your hand at cookie decorating or making cupcakes or cakes or whatever it is. And share that to your personal page. Your personal network is going to be the thing that gets you your first few orders, the people that you already know. So, for example, I talked about this in my no social media marketing methods video. That's a few videos back on my YouTube channel. I've talked about this before, but you want to think about who's in your personal network. I was a teacher before I went into cookie decorating, before I started staying home with my boys. I was a teacher, and I did a set of cookies that were like back to school cookies that my teacher friends could order for their students. And it was a special little deal that was like one little small like crayon cookie per student. So things like that, that will be something your network will love. If you have a lot of mom friends, then maybe do something that would be appealing to mom. And so remember that social media is not the only way to find customers. Think about taking actual cookies to the places that you go during your week. Like if you're going to the dentist office, take a batch of cookies with you, a little box full of cute cookies. Maybe you do tooth-shaped cookies. And business cards, take a stack of business cards with your contact info on them so that people can call you and order cookies. Whatever it is that you're doing, take them to the local library, take them to the tellers at the bank. Anywhere you're going that you can take cookies, invest some time and effort into that, or cupcakes or cake or whatever you're doing, invest some time and effort in that and call it a marketing expense. You'll be amazed at how fast those inquiries will start coming in. And if you pour all your effort and energy, don't be pouring that effort and energy at the start into building a website or setting up your Google My Business or any of that stuff. That comes later. We want to do all that, but it comes later. In the beginning, pour all your time, effort, and energy into making the best product that you possibly can and serving the people who are coming to you so, so well, so that they're so pleased with your product, they want to go tell 20 people about it, or your service, your product, service. It's kind of a hybrid here when we're talking about bacon.
Well, y'all, I've never claimed to be short-winded, and I got 40 minutes into this video before I realized that it was going to have to be broken into parts. So come back next week for part two of the starting, growing, and scaling your home bakery business video / podcast. I'm going to have a part two that talks about the growth phase when we're starting to expand after we've gotten through that start. If you've made it to the end of this video, just kudos to you. Oh my goodness. You must be very patient with me. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you'd like to get more information on starting your home bakery business, on decorating custom sugar cookies, any of that good stuff, head to saragracecookieco.com. That's saragracecookieco.com, and you'll find a ton of resources, blogs, and all the things that you might find helpful to do that over there. Thanks so much.